From Hollywood, California, the makers of Old Gold cigarettes bring you Meet Me at Parkey's.
Mon Capitan, 20 years ago I joined the Foreign Legion. I came here to forget. Boy, am I mad.
What are you mad about?
I forgot what I came to forget. I'm so disgusted.
There, why be irritated? Light an Old Gold and meet me at Parkey's.
Oh, Mary, I'm so angry at that Charlie. Did he insult me?
How did he insult you, Helen?
He asked me if I could dance.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I was dancing with him when he asked me. I could...
Oh, now, there. Why be irritated? Light an Old Gold and meet me at Parkey's.
Yes, everybody meets at Parkey's. So come along to Parkey's Restaurant and say hello to Betty Rhodes, Opie Cates and his orchestra, David Street, and our genial host, the star of our show, Park Your Carcass.
Oh, my. Ever since I got that reward of $2,500 for catching that gangster Charlie the Rat, I became a big celebrity. Everywhere I go, people stop me in the street and they ask me for my autograph. I'm even getting fan letters now. Listen to this fan letter. This is the best fan letter I ever got. It says, "Dear Park Your Carcass, would you like to buy an electric fan?" Ah, and here's a postal card from a soldier friend of mine in Paris. You know, I could look at this picture of the Eiffel Tower all day. Let me see what this letter says. "Dear Park Your Carcass, in checking over our records, we found that you still owe us 50 cents for the book we sold you called 1,001 Ways to Make $1,000,000. Please send us the 50 cents at once, as we are going into bankruptcy." I guess they were so busy, they didn't have a chance to read the book. Everybody only thinks about money. But what is money? Money is only a disease. But it's such a good disease. Hello, Betty Rhodes.
Hiya, Parkey. Say, aren't you the popular one? Look at all that mail.
Yes, Betty, I'm getting mail from all over the world. Somebody even sent me a bottle of cough medicine from way out in Kappa City, Ip.
The Kappa City, Ip?
Yes.
Gee, I never heard of that place.
You didn't. There it is. You can read it right there on the label. Kappa City, Ip. You see?
Kappa City, Ip?
Yes.
This says capacity 1 pint.
Well, you know, I must have read that while I was in the subjunctive mood. You know, Betty, I received hundreds of letters, and it's only because people know that I got $750 left on that reward. As soon as they find out you got a little money, half the people want you to give it to them, the other half wants to take it away from you.
Hi, Betty.
Hello, Opie.
Hello,
will you boys excuse me because I've got some work to do?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, Parkey, I want to talk to you now that you got some money. You know, I've been playing in the restaurant here with my orchestra for 6 months without any salary.
That's right, Opie, but don't forget, for 6 months I've been feeding you and your orchestra for nothing.
Yeah, but we went 50-50 with you on the eats.
How did you go 50-50 with me on the eats?
Well, you supplied the food and we supplied the appetites.
That sounds fair enough. Yes.
Well, you see, Parkey, the boys in my band like to hear the sound of money jingling in their jeans. And now that the war is over, I can't tell them that money isn't rationed anymore.
Oh. Look, Opie, starting today, let's put everything on a cash basis. I'd like to pay you and your orchestra a salary, and then you can pay me for my food. Now, I've been keeping records of all the food what you and your fellas ate in the last 6 months here.
Okay, and I've been keeping track on the number of hours we played here in the restaurant. I can tell you exactly what you owe me and these boys up to today.
All right, let's straighten everything out. Now, here's my books. You fellas have eaten 11,342 meals. Now, that comes to exactly $7,369.15.
Okay, Parker, and here's what you owe us for the music. Mm-hmm. We've played for you exactly 7,369 hours, and at a dollar an hour, that comes out to $7,369.11.
What's the 11 cents for?
That's for my agent.
Your agent gets 11 cents? How can he live on that?
Oh, he handles another client besides me.
All right, let's see how this thing figures up. Now, you owe me $7,369.15, and I owe you $7,369.11. Now, I got to subtract. Now, so you got 24 and taken as a push 70 to 40. There it is. You owe me exactly 4 cents. So, Hoppy, if you give me 4 cents, that'll make us all even.
Well, Parky, I ain't got 4 cents.
You don't got 4 cents? Okay, then we'll have to leave it the way it is. You owe me $7,369.15, and I owe you $7,369.11.
Well, I'll tell you something, Parky. You know, it's a pleasure to do business with you.
Thank you.
Say, pardon me, but could I interrupt you two big financiers long enough for Opie to run over a song with me? It's called If I Loved You.
Oh, Betty, if you really loved me, you'd sing that song right now.
If I loved you time and again, I would try to say, for I want you to know. If I loved you, way round in circles I'd go. Longing to tell you, but afraid and shy.
You sang that beautiful.
Thanks, Parky. Oh, say, for heaven's sake, are you still fooling around with your mail?
Yeah, you know, I got a letter from my brother Bob. Gee, I didn't heard from him in years. Oh, my, I got so much news to tell him. You know, Betty, I think I'll answer him right now while my fountain pen is filled. Dear Bob. Let's see, Bob is B-O-O-B. Oh, my, look at that. That fountain pen blotted over the whole page, spoiled the whole letter. Oh, for heaven's sake, I could
just... Well, there, Parky. Why be irritated? Light an old gold.
Oh, hello, Bob Williams. Look how I spoiled that. I'm just writing a letter to my brother. See, I got so much to say to him, I don't know where to begin.
Well, why don't you begin by saying that you can get comfort and pleasure when you light an old gold, especially today. But you can't get pleasure if your cigarette is hot, harsh, and dry.
Oh, will my brother be glad to hear that.
Well, yes, you know, and you can also tell him that to help prevent cigarette dryness, Old Gold's choice tobaccos are conditioned with a special moisture-protecting agent made from the juice of fresh apples. We call it apple honey.
Say, this will be the newsiest letter I've written to him in a long time. Thanks. All I got to do now is sign it. Your loving brother, Parky. Now, on the bottom of the letter, I got to put a P-S-O-G.
A P-S-O-G?
Yes, please smoke, Old Gold's.
That's a good idea, Parky, because Old Gold's blend of many great tobaccos is enriched with rare imported Latakia tobacco for delightful extra flavor. Yes, extra flavor plus special protection against cigarette dryness. That's Old Gold. So whenever you can, try a pack. And when little annoyances get you down, why be irritated? Light an Old Gold.
Dear Tom, thanks for helping me write that letter. Would you mail it for me if you can find a reasonable post office?
Well, not at all. I'll see you later.
Oh, hello, David Street.
Hiya, Parky. Well, how's the big money man today?
Fine. You know something, David? It's a pleasure to see you. Since I got a hold of that money, you're the only man what I can say good morning to without it don't cost me $2.
You're right, Parky.
Yes, sir.
Be very careful of anybody walking in here with any get-rich-quick ideas. If any of those fellas come around here, you just give them the cold shoulder.
Nah, cold shoulder's all gone. They'll have to take beef stew. That's all I got.
No, Parky, what I mean is that any man who tries to have you put your money in any wildcat proposition is a faker.
Oh, hello, David. When'd you come in?
Just now, Betty. I was just trying to warn Parky against any sharpies who might be coming around here with any money-making schemes.
Oh, you're so right, David. The leeches have been in here already. One of them's been chasing Parky all week. A man by the name of Orville Sharp.
Orville Sharp? Why, I know him. He's just a broken-down bum. He's always borrowing nickels and dimes from people.
Oh, that's just because you don't want to break big bills. Why, he's got a big business. He takes people's money and he invests it for them, you know. Why, he makes millions.
Parky, you're so gullible. Why, that Mr. Sharp is nothing but a phony, and you'd better be careful of him. Oh, David, would you please carry this typewriter into the office for me?
I'll be glad to, Betty. Let's go.
Well, if it ain't my good friend, Mr. Parky Carcass.
Oh, come right in, Mr. Sharp. You know something? We were just talking about you. Your nose must be burning.
Hey. Really, hey?
Yes.
Well, that's very nice. Now, Mr. Parky Carcass, I just stopped by to congratulate you.
What is it?
I got some great news for you.
Yeah?
Natch. You know something? This, Mr. Parky Carcass, happens to be your red letter day.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking this whole thing over, and I finally decided to accept every cent of your $750 and take charge of it for you.
Oh, gee, Mr. Sharp, I wouldn't take advantage of you like that.
Oh, no, that's okay, Bob. But before I can accept your $750, you'll have to answer just a few questions to make sure you're the type I want to make a lot of money for, see?
Oh, you're very particular who you take, huh?
Natch. The first question, have you got any objections to making $1 million?
Well, none that I can think of offhand.
Well, now, that's swell. You understand that it'll be necessary for you to go to the gymnasium so that you can develop the muscles in your arms?
Oh, sure. Why do I have to develop the muscles in my arms?
Well, so that they'll be big and strong to carry those big sacks of money to the bank every day. Oh. Hey, yeah, they're pretty heavy, you know.
Couldn't I make 2 trips?
Natch! Okay, you passed the examination with flying colors.
Good.
Now, if you'll just hand over the $750, I'll dash on my way so as I can lose no time in investing it for you.
Oh, look, Mr. Sharp, I like to think this thing over for a couple, 2 or 3 days. You see, this $750 is all the money I've got in the world, and if I give it to you to invest for me, then I'll be left without no cash.
Cash?
Yes.
Well, what do you need cash for?
Oh, you don't can tell what might come up sometimes, you know. I might even meet a nice girl and want to get married.
Get married?
Ned.
I see. You want to get married, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. You think it over, and I'll see you in a couple of days. Oh, my goodness, this is very embarrassing.
What happened?
Did you see my wallet laying around here with several $100 in it and a huge diamond ring? I must have dropped it here somewhere.
No, I didn't see it. Gee, I hope you didn't lost it.
Well, let it go. If you find it, just keep it as a reward. But that does leave me without no money, don't it?
Yes.
Say, chum, could you loan me 50 cents? I got a dinner appointment with a big banker, and tonight it's my turn to take the check, see?
Oh, sure, here's the $50.
Thanks, Mr. Parky Carcass. Well, what do you know? He wants to get married, eh? Good night, Mr. Parky Carcass.
Good night, Mr. Sharp. He's a nice fella. How can Betty and David say that a big money man like him is a faker?
Obie Gates' clarinet and his orchestra play Lou Lou. By the way, is Parky around?
Oh, he's around here someplace, Bob. He's talking about investing in some big deal that's going to make him as much money as the United States Mint.
As much as the Mint? Obie, the Mint makes a lot of money.
Well, if they want to make as much money as Parky says he's going to make, they'd have to be in business for 150 years.
Well, Obie, the United States Mint actually has been going for 153 years. It was established in 1792.
Well, look, Bob, don't you think that a man like that making money for 153 years could have taken out at least 5 minutes and made a little for me?
Well, yes, Opie, 153 years is a long time. But even 32 years before that, in 1760 to be exact, the Lorillard business was founded. Now, that's nearly two centuries of association with the world's choice tobaccos. And this vast experience is reflected in the quality of Old Gold cigarettes today.
Well, I suppose now that the war is over, Bob, it's going to be easier to get Old Gold. Huh? Maybe? Huh?
Well, yes, Opie, the cigarette situation is improving. Old Golds are still a bit short on quantity, but they are long on quality. The same marvelous quality they've always had. Now, we're happy that increasingly more Old Golds are becoming available. So if you must take another brand today, remember, you're likely to get Old Golds tomorrow.
Pardon me, are you Mr. Parkiakakis?
Yes.
Well, Orville Sharp called me up and asked me if I wouldn't drop in and do you a favor.
Oh, do you know Mr. Sharp?
Why, he's my best friend.
He is, huh?
Now, Mr. Parkiakakis, do you want to get married?
Are you proposing?
Of course not. Here's my card.
Your card, the Lonesome Hearts Matrimonial Get-Together Bureau. Remember our slogan, your mate is in our hands.
My name is Steele.
Steele?
Yes, Montgomery Steele.
How do you do?
Now, Mr. Parkiakakis, you're unhappy, and that's where I come in.
I'm unhappy because you came in?
No. Dear me, no. It's because you're not married. There's no reason for it, because for every man, there's a woman, and for every woman, there's a man.
That's a pretty good arrangement, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Now, it's my business to find the proper mates for people.
I see.
Tell me, have you ever heard the love call of one bird to another?
Oh, yes. One day last spring, I heard a little birdie was singing, tweet, tweet, tweet. And there on my windowsill was a little robin pinkbreast.
Robin pinkbreast?
Yes.
You mean a robin redbreast?
No, this one was anemic.
Well, do you know why that robin was anemic?
No, why?
It was because he didn't find his mate.
Oh, I see.
He didn't know what love was. Now, somewhere there was a robin waiting for him. And the same thing applies to you.
Oh, I wouldn't marry a robin.
No, Mr. Parky Carcass. Oh, look, here. I brought along our latest catalog filled to the brim with pictures of beautiful women just waiting for a man like you.
Really?
And for a small fee, I can arrange for you to meet and marry any one of them. Let me show them to you. Now, look here. Isn't this a beautiful girl?
Oh, my. She is gorgeous. That's her name on the bottom there? Betty Grable?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how comes a beautiful girl like this is still single?
Just waiting for a man like you to come along.
Really?
Yes, or maybe you prefer a dark-haired girl. Take a look at this picture.
Gee, is she a knockout. What's her name?
There's her name right there. Dorothy L'Amour.
Dorothy L'Amour?
Uh-huh.
Now, something, she's beautiful enough to be in the movies.
Yes.
Dorothy L'Amour, because that's not a good name for the movies.
No.
Too hard to remember.
Yes.
Be much better when it's Dorothy Parkiakakis. I say, that's much easier, I think.
Yes, it is. Much easier. I say, Mr. Parkiakakis, do you go to the movies very often?
No, I don't. You see, this sound hurts my ears. I'm waiting for Silent Pictures to come back.
It's a very good idea.
Yes.
Now, look here. If you think you've seen some beautiful girls, feast your eyes on this lovely lady.
Oh, my. Betty Hutton?
Mm-hmm. Now, which one of these three girls would you like to marry? Betty Grable, Dorothy L'Amour, or Betty Hutton?
Gee, all three of them are so beautiful, I can't make a choose. You know, Mr. Steele, I'd like to marry all three of them, but of course I couldn't do that because that would be monotony.
Yes, it would. I know it's difficult to choose from these three gorgeous creatures, but
yes.
You can only marry one, and you'll have to make a choice.
In that case, I'll have to use the Parkiakakis system to pick one out.
All right.
I close my eyes and just say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. There, I'll marry Mo.
All right. Now, let's see. Well, you've selected Betty Grable. Very happy choice, and may I be the first to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Now, if you'll give me my service fee...
Yes, service fee. What's that for?
For arranging your marriage to Betty Grable.
How much is the service fee?
How much have you got?
$750.
What a coincidence. Exactly my fee.
I was afraid of that. Look, first I'd like to meet the girl's family. I'd like to know all her relatives. After I meet her mother and father and everything is all right, then I'll give you the $750.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
You want to meet her mother and father before you give me the money, huh?
That's right.
It's a man and a woman, isn't it? I wonder if I can get Joe and Tessie.
What did you say?
Nothing at all. Would you pardon me for a moment? I'd like to make a phone call. I think I can arrange to have you meet her mother and father.
Oh, good. There's the phone booth right over there.
Thank you.
Say, Parky, who was that seedy-looking character you were just talking to?
Oh, that's Mr. Steele, David. He's going to introduce me to the most beautiful girl that I've never seen in my whole life. David, who knows? Maybe I'll be the future Mr. Parkiakakis. David, maybe I do need a wife. Maybe I do need mothering. Say, David, sing me a romantic song, will you, so that when I meet my dream girl, I'll be in the mood for love.
Okay, Parky. Here's a song called Out of This World.
You're clear out of this world when I'm looking at you. I hear out of this world the music that no mortal ever knew. You're right out of a book, a fairy tale I read when I was so high. No armored knight out of a book was more enchanted by a Lorelei than I. waiting so long for the right time. After reaching so long for a star, all at once from the long and lonely night time, and despite time, here you are. I'd cry out of this world if you said we were through. So let me fly out of this world and spend the next eternity or two with you.
David, that was beautiful.
Thank you, Parkey. Oh, here's Mr. Steele coming back. Maybe you two fellas would like to be alone.
Mr. Parkey Carcass, I've made all the arrangements. Betty Grable's father and mother are waiting to meet you.
They are?
Yes.
Let me see your picture again.
All right, here you are.
Gee, she's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Parkey Carcass, be sure you bring all your money with you. You know, there's a lot of men who are very anxious to marry Miss Grable. Yes. I don't want you to lose out. That's why I want you to bring all your money with you, so you can make a good impression on the family.
Yes, you're right. You know, I hope they like me so they'll take me in the family.
Now, don't you worry about their taking you. You just bring the $750, and I guarantee they'll take you, but good.
Gosh, imagine them taking me. Gee, Mr. Steele, I'm glad I met you. And you know something? That Orville Sharp was right. This is my red letter day.
For the further adventures of Parky Carcass, Opie Cates and his orchestra, David Street, and Betty Rhodes, tune in again next Sunday, same time, same station. Is it a date? Okay, meet me at Parky's. The need for buying and holding victory bonds remains acute. The war will not be over for a long time for the hundreds of thousands of sick and wounded fighting men who need medical care. Heavy physical demands will result from mustering out pay and cancellations of war contracts. Victory bonds can combat the danger of inflation and provide a cushion which will protect the nation against a post-war depression. In addition, war bonds are the most effective means for individuals to save in order to make a major investment at some future time, such as building a home, buying a farm, or paying for a college education. There is and will continue to be an urgent need for buying and holding victory bonds. And now until next Sunday evening, don't let little annoyances get you down. Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Its tobaccos are specially conditioned to help guard against cigarette dryness and to give you more smoking pleasure. And now this is Bob Williams saying goodnight for Old Gold and inviting you again next Sunday night to meet me at Parkey's.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.